Sitting in this hall is always a little bit of a struggle. I think it's the door keeps opening and closing, people coming and going. So if you're a little bit cold, then you might want to just gravitate towards Angela or Esther, whoever over there, just to get near a heater, because it can be a little bit nippy with the door at the back there. Or just huddle next to the person next to you. Give them a bit of a huddle up close if you're getting a bit cold. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you this morning that this is the day you've made. You've made this day, Lord, for us to walk with you, to know you, to draw close to you, to be taught by you. And Jesus, we ask, today would you come amongst us in a very real way, in a very powerful way, in a way to change us, to build us, to do what you want in our lives and heart. Thank you that this is your church, you're the head of this church, and we give ourselves to you today. Asking Jesus that you would come. Jesus, would you come? Would you come and speak? Would you come and move amongst us? Would you come by your Spirit in our hearts? Let's just wait for a moment, our eyes closed. Let's just wait, drawing close to Jesus. Open our hearts to him afresh. Amen. Amen. I don't know whether you have ever had the experience of visiting someone's home, of going to visit them, and when you arrive, the TV is on, and you go in to talk to them, to visit them, to chat with them, and they don't turn the TV off, but they leave the TV on. And you sit down, and instead of sit down face to face looking at them, actually, you sit side by side, they're watching the TV, and you're there. So you've come to see them, but actually the TV is on, and they're still watching the TV even though you're there. You sit down, you start to chat, whatever you've come to chat about, but you're aware that the person who you've come to see isn't actually giving you their full attention. They've got one eye, as it were, on the box, and one eye on you. And that the conversation is interspersed with whatever's on the TV. That they're not giving you their undivided attention. They're looking at the TV at the same time as talking to you. And occasionally you're aware they're not actually listening to you at all. As some juicy bit comes up on the TV and their attention is taken, actually you're aware that the focus has gone on to what's happening on the TV and they're not even listening to what you're saying. That their divided attention is now absorbed into the box. Well, most of us are pretty good at multitasking. We can make a phone call at the same time as doing the ironing. We can listen to maybe our child read at the same time as making the supper. Even driving at the same time as using a hands-free phone. I must confess, actually, I've caught myself listening to one of my children telling me something about their day, and my mind wandering, and I'm starting to think about what I'm going to be doing later on that evening. There are so many demands on our attention, we often end up splitting our attention between many different things. I've even caught myself, whilst I'm praying, I'm sat there praying to God, and I'm aware my mind at the same time is making a shopping list, I'm sorry to say. I want to talk this morning, the topic today I want to talk about is listening to Jesus. There you go. Turn it off. I believe God wants to encourage us today about how we listen to Jesus. And we'll look at a familiar passage in the Bible, a passage that many of us will know. It's the Mary Martha passage in Luke 10. If you've got a Bible, then it's good to turn to that passage in Luke 10 about Mary and Martha. It's a familiar passage. I want to look at it freshly, what God would teach us about listening to Jesus. Some speakers draw the contrast between Mary and Martha in terms of personality types. Martha's someone who serves in the church. Mary's someone who worships Jesus. But I believe this is far more, passage is far more about Jesus wanting to teach us, all of us, how to listen to him. I want to encourage us today. I believe I make it so complicated, my Christian life I can make so complicated, and yet God's asked me to do some simple thing, to give Jesus my undivided attention. Obviously, I can't do that 24 hours a day. I can't give Jesus my undivided attention as I'm driving the car or as I am doing my job or as I'm cooking the tea. I can't give Jesus my undivided attention. Obviously, not 24 hours a day. But when Jesus comes to visit me during the day, I think God wants me to switch off everything else and give him my undivided attention. Why do I find it so hard? Why do I find it so hard to give Jesus this focus, this undivided attention? Is it because there are so many distractions, maybe? Is it because my mind wanders when Jesus comes to me? Is it because I find it hard to focus on someone I can't see with my eyes? Well, we're going to look at this passage and look for some keys. This Sunday talk today, it follows on really from the talk I gave the first Sunday of the year, January the 3rd. We're looking at a passage in Revelation 3:20, the passage where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," here's the passage here, "anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Here, Jesus talking to the church, talking to us as Christians, saying he desires to come closer. Jesus wanting to come closer to us, his followers. Jesus wanting on the, he's on the outside, but he wants to come close to be with us. And the analogy, the picture Jesus uses here is coming close through a door and sharing a meal. Obviously, if I come around to my house and have a meal, I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you. I want to give you my undivided attention. If I invited you around for a meal and then put the TV on and sat watching the TV, you'd be pretty miffed. I don't know. Well, but it's because you want to come. The idea is you come around and we're going to talk. We're going to share. Jesus here is wanting to come and to get close and come to talk to us. We're going to continue. It's kind of like part two. This morning is part two of this theme. The passage we're looking at today in Luke 10 tells us about one thing. Jesus talks about one thing which is the most important of all the things that we do. Let's look at this passage together. It's in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And it's a passage where Jesus comes to someone's home. Luke 10, 38. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So this passage, there's two sisters, there's Mary and there's Martha. Jesus comes to their home, and they respond in different ways. And I feel this passage is recorded in Scripture because Jesus wants us to realize, God wants us to know that there is one thing. There is one thing that's of primary importance. There's one thing above all else. And I feel that this passage, going to talk this morning, it's about the one thing. The one thing that's on Jesus' heart for me. Let's look at verse 38 as it starts off. It says, "Jesus and his disciples were on their way." They were on the way to Jerusalem. And as they were traveling to Jerusalem, they came to this village. The village, it's actually not mentioned in this passage. The village where they're living is actually a village called Bethany. And so they came to this village of Bethany. And in the village of Bethany, there was a home there that when Martha and Mary lived. And it says that Martha, she opened her home to him. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. In the Amplified Bible, this passage says, "A woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house." So Jesus came to the village. One woman in the village, Martha, recognized Jesus was special. Jesus was someone worthy of honor. Jesus was someone worthy of making an effort to have in the home. Jesus was someone worthy of opening up and spending time with and having him in our house. Martha wanted to spend time with Jesus. Martha wanted to do something for Jesus. Martha wanted to honor Jesus. So she opened home. She received him. She honored him. She welcomed him into her home. She saw in Jesus someone special. And she wanted to do something for him in honor. She cooked a meal, started to get ready, started to make preparations, started to do whatever was necessary to have him, maybe put the bed out, the camping bed, I don't know, whatever it was. She got the place ready. She was wanting to get ready for Jesus, wanting to prepare her home, do things to serve Jesus. But you see what happened? She didn't realize what it was that Jesus wanted. Jesus didn't want to be served. He wanted not to be served, but he wanted to draw close to Martha. He didn't want her to do all these things. Actually, Jesus wanted one thing. He didn't want all the things that she wanted to do. So more than Jesus wanting the best efforts of Martha to serve him, more than that, he actually wanted the undivided attention of Martha. What he wanted was Martha to sit and to receive the life-giving words. Jesus knew he had the words of eternal life. Jesus knew that he had something that she needed. More than she needed to do for him, Jesus knew that he came with the life-giving words that Martha needed to hear. See, in my time with Jesus, my own time, my personal time, whether you call it a devotional time, a quiet time, a prayer time, whatever you call it, in my time with Jesus, I can be a Martha or I can be a Mary. I hope there's no one here called Martha, because it's a bit of a hard, if there is anyone called Martha, it's a bit of a tough one, a tough sermon if your name's Martha, because this passage helps us to see how Jesus wants me to respond when he comes close. See, obviously Jesus doesn't visit my home like he did in the passage here, but in my devotional time, in the time I spend with Jesus, that Jesus comes to visit me. Obviously, Jesus is with me all the time. Obviously, when I'm driving my car, when I'm doing my work, whatever I'm doing, Jesus is with me. God is everywhere all the time. But there's a time when Jesus comes to visit me. There's a time when Jesus comes to close to me. There's a time when Jesus draws near to me. It's this passage in Revelation 3:20 we just looked at the beginning, when he's knocking at the door, wanting to come in, wanting to come close, wanting to spend time with me. There's a time where Jesus wants to come and make a visit. And at that time, I can respond to that desire of Jesus by either being like Martha did or by being like Mary did. It says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, and sister called Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Mary was listening to Jesus. Now, the previously two chapters before in Luke, Luke records the words of Jesus. In Luke 8:18, Jesus said, consider carefully how you listen. Jesus is warning us, exhorting us, telling us, there are different ways you can listen. You can listen while the TV's on and there's background noise. You can sort of listen. And you know what? Martha must have listened to Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Mary's feet. And Martha would be running around, fixing the food, fixing the bed. So she must have caught snatches of what Jesus said. As she went through, thought, oh, that sounds good. She walked past back again. Oh, yeah, that sounds pretty good. As she's kind of moving backwards and forwards. But this verse in Luke 8:18 says, consider carefully how you listen. Because we can listen or we can listen. We can listen in terms of generally getting an idea of what someone's saying, or we can, like Mary, give a total, undivided, focused attention. Jesus, what do you want to say to me? And I clear everything else out of the way. Jesus, just you and me, what do you want to say to me? And that can involve me not talking, not bringing all my requests or unburdening all the things. Obviously, there's a place for that. But actually, it's just me being here. Jesus, what do you want to say to me? Martha was fussing, and maybe she heard something. She was multitasking. Martha was a good multitasker, doing lots of things at once. But Jesus warns us, be careful how you listen. I'm reminded of another woman in the Bible, a woman called Lydia. Lydia was a merchant of cloth. She dealt in cloth, purple cloth, from a city called Thyatira. And she happened to be in Philippi when the apostle Paul and Luke were there. Paul was preaching and she was listening. Listen to the passage in Acts 16. This is Paul and Luke together. Luke records it. Paul's the preacher. From there this is Paul and Luke, traveled to Philippi. Philippi, this European city, this Roman colony, this leading city of the district of Macedonia. And it says, we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening, there was someone who was listening. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. And then Luke records what happened. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. See, she was listening. I suggest she was listening, really listening. See, maybe there were people doing their washing their clothes down by the river. Maybe there were people who were doing all fishing. I don't know what they were doing down by the river. And maybe you've caught a kind of a glimpse of what Paul was saying. They might have heard something he said. But Lydia, listen, she's recorded in scripture as one of those who listened. She really listened. She gave Paul her undivided attention. Not because he was Paul, but because she recognized something he was saying was from God. And so she focused, she tuned in, she tuned out everything else. And she wasn't interested in dealing in cloth on that day. She wasn't looking for prospective sellers or buyers of cloth. She was interested in what God was saying. So she cleared everything out of her mind and she listened. And because she listened, I think God opened her heart. See, because she listened, God enabled something spiritual, something supernatural to happen in her heart. Because Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening, something happened in Mary's heart that I don't think maybe happened in Martha's heart. Because Mary gave Jesus her undivided attention, because Mary recognized something more than Martha did, that what Jesus wanted from her was something to give. That Jesus came with something to give to Mary, which are these words of life. And she recognized that was her most vital need. Mary recognized the most vital need when Jesus came was for her to receive the words of life. Because she knew those words were special, they were powerful, and they were life-changing. They made a difference. So she did nothing else. She was just at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he said. See, in my prayer time, my devotional time, my quiet time, I can so easily jump into telling Jesus all the things on my mind, all the agendas, all the things that I've got to do, all the problems, all the difficulties. And it's obviously good to pray through those things, absolutely. But I believe in this passage, Jesus is wanting us to see that there is in fact one thing, absolute one thing that's of vital importance. And it's that I am listening. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's a lovely psalm in Psalm 45. It's a psalm talking about the bride and the king. And it's a psalm talking about the king, and it's giving advice to the daughter, this daughter who is the bride who's going to marry the king. And it's an allegory. Part of it is an allegory of Jesus and the church. Jesus is the bridegroom. We as the church are the bride. And it's an allegorical kind of picture there. And the advice to the bride is listen to your king. Psalm 45 verse 10. Listen. Listen, O daughter. Consider and give ear. The advice of the psalmist is you need to listen to your bridegroom. Bride, you need to listen, you need to consider, you need to give ear. See, listen, it's almost a command. It's almost saying you must, it's very important that you listen. It's very important you focus and listen. It says consider. So it's carefully thinking about what the person's saying. And then it says, give ear. If I give you my ear, it's a common expression, of course, for me focusing on what you're saying, me straining, me listening. What is it? I'm trying to understand what you're saying. I'm trying to grasp what you're saying. I'm giving you my full attention. I'm giving you my ear because I want to know what you're saying. See, Jesus wants my time with him. When Jesus comes to visit me, when he doesn't pass through the village as it was in here and he came to that village, when Jesus comes to me tomorrow, he wants me to listen, to consider, to give my ear to him. That my attention is fully on him. Back to our story about Mary of Bethany. This woman, Mary of Bethany, is interesting. Three times in the Gospels, when Mary meets Jesus, she's at the same place. When Mary meets Jesus, she always knows the place to go when Jesus is around. It's at his feet. When Mary bumps into Jesus, or when Jesus comes to Mary, there's one place she goes, it's at his feet. This passage we're looking at here in Luke 10, she is sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he said. Of course, at the feet of Jesus, it's a symbol, it's a sign, it's a gesture, it's a posture of respect, of humility, of absolutely. But if I'm a, you know, as a teacher, if you're a teacher and you have children around you, they sit, they're listening, their eyes kind of glued to the teacher's telling the story. It's this thing of focus that's hopefully glued anyway, if you're a teacher, hopefully they are. But it's the thing of having someone's undivided attention. And that's what teachers want. Teachers love it when you've got the undivided attention of your kids. And as there's Mary sat at Jesus' feet, just gazing up, looking humble before Jesus at his feet, it's all, the only thing in her sight is Jesus, and she is fully focused on him. And then in another passage in John 11, when Lazarus, her brother, has died, when Jesus comes, she falls at his feet and she pours out her sadness. Again, when she sees Jesus, what she knows to do is get at his feet. And so look in passage John 11 and verse 32. This is where Mary met Jesus. Lazarus has died here. Her brother's died. And it says in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping. The Jews who come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. So when she was troubled and she knew what to do, she knew where to go, it was at the feet of Jesus. And then lastly, in John 12, there's a dinner in the honor of Jesus here. Luke 12, 2. There was a dinner given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. And while Lazarus, so he'd been raised from the dead at this point, and they're having a meal, among those reclining at the table, it says Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, there she is at his feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. So there she is in worship at the feet of Jesus. Mary understood something. This woman, Mary from Bethany, she understood something about Jesus. That whenever he came to her, whenever Jesus was near to her, she knew the place to be. It was at his feet, and she knew to give Jesus her full attention. And I believe there's a picture for us. There's like an analogy. There's something for us to kind of get hold of here, in that whenever Jesus is around, whenever I've got my time where it's just me and Jesus, the place to be is at his feet, and the thing to do is to give him my full, undivided attention, listening to what he has to say to me. I think she understood something for us to take note and to learn. The best place is at his feet, is a place of humility and of undivided attention. Now contrast Mary with Martha. Now Martha, it says in verse 40 that she was, this is of Luke 10, she was distracted. Martha was distracted. Mary was focused. See the contrast here. Mary was focused on Jesus. She was at his feet. She was gazing up into the eyes of Jesus. She was listening to him. She was considering. She was giving her ear. And there's Martha. Martha was distracted. Rather than giving Jesus her undivided attention, she allowed herself to be distracted. The devil will try any and every distraction. The devil has a huge arsenal of distractions. Why is it whenever I sit down to pray, something pops in my mind that I've urgently got to go and do? Why is that? Why suddenly do I need to go make a cup of tea, go and make an urgent phone call? Why is that? Because the devil wants any and every distraction. Martha was, Jesus said, distracted. Rather than her being where Mary was, doing the most important thing, which is giving Jesus her full attention, there were lots of things in Mary's life that were pressing, that were distracting, and they were keeping her from Jesus. And the thing to note, it's not that she was nowhere near Jesus. She was around him. She was near to him. And as followers of Christ, as Christians, we can be near to Jesus. We can be around Jesus. And yet we can miss it. Martha missed it. Martha was that close, and yet she missed it. Jesus was so close. Maybe she had to even brush past Jesus as she was on the way to go and fix the food. I don't know. But she was so close. She was in the home, and yet she was distracted. She was so near, yet so far. Thank God, so often I think I am so near, yet so far. Because actually my life is so distracted from you. There are so many, many things that distract me. Now, it's very interesting to look what happened here. What happened, because these distractions, Jesus said that these things, these distractions, in verse 40, they have to be made. These preparations had to be made. So it wasn't that Jesus saying these distractions were not important. It wasn't just saying these just trivial things you shouldn't do. Not they're even sin or even wrong things. No, they have to be done. My life is full of things that have to be done. Your life is packed full of things that have to be done. You have to go to work. You have to look after children. You have to cook food. You have to do the ironing. There's loads of things you have to do. And Jesus is saying to Martha, your life is full of things you have to do, but you're being distracted by them. So he wasn't being unrealistic. Wasn't saying, look, just forget about all those practical things and let's all be kind of vague and floaty. But actually, Jesus was acknowledging all the practical things, but saying to Martha, they are distractions. When I have come to you, they are distractions. Where Jesus is saying, when I've come close to you, any of those important things, and they are important, they are distractions compared to what Jesus wanted to do, was to give the life-giving words. Imagine Jesus walked in the home full of the life of God. He was the life of God. His words are spirit and life. As he came into that home, the most important thing as he drew close for Martha was that the life he had in him would be transferred to her. Was that she would hear, she would be changed as Lydia was changed. Was that she would hear those words. And yet it says she was distracted by the things that had to be done. The passage continues. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do the work by myself. Tell her to help me. See, Martha wanted Mary to stop listening to Jesus. Martha thought the way to please Jesus was by doing things. In her mind, the way she thought, now Jesus come to my home, he's an honored guest. Out of all the homes in the village, she welcomed him. She recognized who he was. She recognized how important he was, Jesus. So she wanted to honor him and make a meal and do everything, all the preparations that need to be made. Because she recognized something special. She thought Jesus wanted her to honor her in a certain way. I think Jesus wants me to do so many things. Jesus must want me to do this. Jesus want me to do that. That must please Jesus if I do this. Mary had lots of bright ideas about what she thought Jesus would want her to do. And she thought Mary should get with her program and get on and do the things that she thought Jesus would want her to do. If there's anyone that was 100% wrong, it was Martha. Martha was 100% wrong, totally wrong, 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 in terms of what Jesus would want her to do. But she was convinced that, of course, this is what Jesus would want. You would want this, wouldn't you, Jesus? She even talks to him, assuming, of course, can you not see, Jesus, that actually this is the right thing and this is what you want me to do? And Jesus is so kind and so patient with Martha. And Martha must have changed. No, commentators believe Martha changed because the passage later in John 12, where there's this feast in her home for Jesus, for the 12, for her brother and her sister, she doesn't utter, when there's another feast later on, she doesn't complain at all. She's going from being a whinging, complaining to not. She changed. Martha changed on the inside. God, would you change me on the inside? I want to change. I don't want to be like Martha, full of my bright ideas of how I can please you. I want to be like Mary, who just simply came, simply sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his life-giving words and what he wanted to say. Look what happened in verse 41. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, Martha. Do you see, there's almost like, you can see there's a rebuke, but there's a kindness. You can see the kind of, the almost exasperation. Oh, Martha. He's a little bit exasperated with her, but kind. He says, you are worried and upset about many things. He's exasperated. I believe Jesus is exasperated. That Martha has missed the point of his visit. Jesus has come close and she's missed it. Maybe in my times with God, Jesus wants to come close to me and I miss it. I miss it. I miss what Jesus wants to do. I miss what Jesus wants to say because my preconception is, my plan is, the things I think Jesus would be pleased if I did were this, that, and the other. And then Jesus says this, Martha, Martha, you're worried. You're worried. How much of my life do I waste with being worried? I've struggled with worry a lot. People have different kind of propensities to worry. And I think I do pretty good on the worrying side. It's a terrible curse. Worrying is a terrible curse. I've struggled with it. Worrying that something's not going to happen the way that I want it to. Worrying that something bad is going to happen that I don't want to. You know, that worrying is basically me trying to work things out the way I think they should be worked out. That's what worry is in the day. Worry is me trying to make the world conform to how I think it should be so that it fits in with my expectations. That's what worry is. I find it hard. Be honest, I think worry is not something that I generally speak. Someone can just pray for me, lay a hand on my head, pray for me, and I walk away and I never worry again. That's not happened to me. Might happen to you, but it's not happened to me. It's a process by which we realize, actually, Jesus, I can't change all these things. I can't make everything happen the way I want it to. But see, Mary, who wasn't worried, she wasn't worried because she was just sat when Jesus came and listened to what he said and believed his life-giving words were going to be the things she needed. You know, just as a bit of a testimony, sometimes I sit down and I sit down to pray and I can make my list of things. These are the things I need to pray about. I need to pray about those things, and these are the things I need to do. And sometimes what I felt is God just say, put that list down. Put down your preoccupations, things you think are important that you want to do. Put those there down and just focus on Jesus. Just draw near to Jesus, give him my undivided attention, read the scripture, meditate on the scripture, not to get the answers to my problems, but just to love Jesus, just to listen to him, just to draw close to him. And then to have a pad next to me, a piece of paper and a pencil just next to me. And as I'm focusing on Jesus, as things pop into my mind, just jot them down. So something that it could be something to do, just jot it down. Something God's saying to me, just jot it down. Just to write these things down and then but to keep my focus, not to allow myself distracted, not the first thing comes to mind and think, oh yeah, I must go and do that and go off and do it. But just keep my focus on Jesus. I end up sometimes with a list of maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different things on this list. And then when I've spent time with Jesus, that is then my to-do list. Because it's come out of listening to Jesus. It's come out of being at his feet. Rather than me taking my agenda into Jesus and saying, what about this and what about this and what about this? I'm there focused on him and asking him to give me his agenda. Asking him to give me the things that are important. Asking him to give me solutions. And sometimes it's been really exciting to see those things and what I felt God say and God do. Wonderful. And I think that it says here that Martha was worried about so many things because she wasn't giving this undivided ears to Jesus. It also says she was worried. It says she was upset. She was worried and upset. The words used in the passage, the words that are used by Luke as he put here in this passage, mean actually worried on the inside and outwardly anxious. So she looked in a bad way. Just have a little sneak at your neighbour. Does the neighbour look in a bad way? No, they look fine to me. Look fine to me. But what was on the inside was working its way on the outside. And so not only was she anxious on the inside and worried, it was actually showing. Whether she had big lines across her face, I don't know how she kind of showed that. But obviously Jesus perceived the fact that she was upset. She was upset because she wasn't focused on what Jesus was saying. And then look what Jesus said here in the passage. Jesus said many things. Jesus says this thing that many things. This is in 41. This is in Luke 10:41. You are upset, worried and upset about many things. How many things burden your life? How many things burden you? What are your many things? Relationship things, home things, financial things, job things, the many things. They might be different from the person next to you, but we've all got these many things that can distract us, that can worry us, that can upset us. That's the human condition. That's what it means to be human, is that we are susceptible. We're susceptible to the weight of these many things. Now look at verse 42, because verse 42 is our punchline. Verse 42 is Jesus giving the words of life to Martha. Listen to what he said. He said, but only one thing. There's a contrast between the many things that burden me and the one thing that you need, says Jesus. So Jesus' analysis of my struggle is there are many things you're struggling with, many things you're worried by, many things you're upset by, many things you're distracted by, but there is only one thing you need. You see how stark a contrast it is and how simple it is, and yet I make it so complicated. It's so simple. There are many things, and that's true for us all, but Jesus says to each one of us this morning, but there is only one thing you need. In a sense, the solution to all the things, the struggles in our life, is simple. It is just one thing. There is only one priority as far as Jesus is concerned. From the viewpoint of Jesus, we're all the same, whether we're a Mary, a Martha, whether whoever we are, there's only one thing we need, and it's what Mary did. Jesus said, what Mary did is the one thing, Martha, you're missing and you need to do. Because if you did it, something would happen. If you did it, something spiritual, something supernatural, something powerful would happen. Look what he continues to say. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen. There is a choice. There is a choice. It comes down to my volition. It comes down to my will. It comes down to my choice. Tomorrow, in my time with Jesus, it comes down to a choice. And the choice is, am I going to be distracted? Am I going to be worried? Am I going to be upset, even by the things that have to be done, as Jesus says? Are there many things in my life, pressures, whatever they are they the things that are going to fill my mind? Or am I going to do what Mary did and make the choice that Mary did and Martha didn't, which is simply to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he says? Mary has chosen. Mary has chosen. When I first became a Christian, many years ago, I was at college and I had a very busy timetable of lectures and practicals and tutorials and all those kind of things. And I had a bike and I would cycle a lot. So a lot of my time I spent cycling from this lecture to that practical to this tutorial. And one day, I shortly after becoming a Christian, I was whizzing around from one venue to the other, and suddenly my bike packed up. Something went on the chain. So I had no choice but to get off and push the bike from one venue to another. So I was late or missed things. But I know what I was going to do. So I had to walk from place to place pushing my bike. As I was walking, I felt God speak to me this so simply and so clearly. This was 29 years ago. And I can remember it. Sometimes when God speaks, you know it's God because it impacts you. And what God said is He wanted me to spend time with Him. And so it was kind of enforced time because I was just pushing my bike along. You know? I couldn't whiz from one place to another, dash to this lecture, dash over there. I had no choice that day but just to spend hours, it was hours, walking from one place to another, just me and God, Jesus talking to me. And this is that was the first time for me. I've been a slow learner. I must be honest, I've been a slow learner. That was the first time God spoke to me about this. And God, I feel it's something that we learn slowly. I learn slowly. We learn these things slowly. But actually, it's the heart of the thing. Because look what he says. Jesus said, what Mary has chosen is the better thing. The better thing. You see, what Mary has chosen is better. In my life, I can either just choose to carry my worries, my concerns, things that upset me, my distractions, or I can choose something better. Do you want something better? Do you want something better than to be worried, upset, concerned, distracted, and burdened? Well, Jesus is saying there is something better. There is something better. And it's so simple, and yet so challenging. Look, it's very interesting what Jesus said, because Jesus said she's chosen what is better and it will not be taken from her. It's as though as she sat at the feet of Jesus, something was given to her. She sat at the feet of Jesus. Something came out of Jesus and into her. And Jesus says what she's been given will not be taken away. What was she given? Lovely verse in Matthew 4:4 where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's that wonderful scripture. And Mary was there, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Every word that came out of God, every word that came out of Jesus, she was drinking it in, it was going into her, it was changing her, it was feeding her, it was making her different. What a liberating passage of scripture. And it comes down, the bottom line, it comes down to something oh so simple. It's that when Jesus comes to visit your house, when Jesus comes to visit you, your quiet time, your devotional time, he wants your undivided attention. He wants you simply to sit at his feet. It's great to have Bible reading plans. It's great to have a discipline of pattern. It's great to have Christian books that we're reading. It's great to have lists of things we're praying through. All those things are fantastic and we need them. They're essential. But actually, first of all, I think Jesus wants one thing, only one thing. He wants my ear. He wants me to sit at his feet and just listen to what he's saying. To clear my mind of distractions, to switch off everything else and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm not bringing my agenda. Jesus, what is your agenda? What do you want to say to me today? Because he's got some life-giving words that he wants to put in my heart that will resolve some of those worries. Some life-giving words that he wants to speak into me that will change me as he changed Lydia by the river as she listened, so that things that upset me no longer upset me. So that the words that come in to my heart will feed me so that I won't be distracted as I have been distracted. Let's close our eyes together. Jesus, thank you for this passage in the Bible where you tell us that just only one thing is needed. And Lord, I confess I've been a slow learner on this one. And Lord, would you help us? Would you teach us? God to be those like Mary who would just simply listen to what you want to say. To sit at your feet and listen to you. God, forgive me for making things complicated. Forgive me for bringing my own agendas like Martha did. My own plans and things that I think to you. Forgive me for, Lord, missing the simplicity of what you're asking me to do. Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning. Would you come amongst us? Would you help us to grasp with both hands this one thing? Holy Spirit, would you teach it to a depth in our heart and life, Lord? But I want to ask your mercy upon those of us who our quiet time, our devotional time has dried up and evaporated. God, would you come? Burden us once again. Stir us once again. Impress upon us once again. Enable us to respond to what you're saying, Lord. And switch off whatever needs to be switched off. Lord, that we could make space that you come and visit us. God, Jesus, when you're passing by each day, Jesus, would I recognize that? Would I welcome you, Lord? Lord, thank you. Just feel for some of us if our devotional time seems dry and doesn't seem to have life, the life of Jesus in it. Just this morning to just simply sit at the feet of Jesus and saying, I want to be like Mary. I want to listen. I want to be taught by you. I want to hear your voice, Lord. Would you teach me these things? Would you show me how to do these things? It's a wonderful passage in a verse in 1 John where it talks about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It says he teaches us about all things. God himself will teach us. God himself will show us. It's not something you read in a book, not something, a methodology. It's the Holy Spirit showing you how to sit at the feet of Jesus and how to hear his voice, how to listen, how to consider, how to give ear to Jesus. Holy Spirit, anointing of God, would you come and would you teach us a fresh way, Lord? I feel just some of us may have looked to books or CDs or sermons or TV channels, God TV, things to hear what God's saying when actually there's only one thing that's needed. All those things are useful, absolutely, but primarily, foundationally, daily, I feel Jesus is saying there's actually only one thing. God, would you help us? Would we be a people, Lord, who would hear your voice? For those of us who struggle in hearing you, would you come, Holy Spirit, and teach us? Open our ears. Open our hearts to respond to you. Help us to hear what you're saying. Even today, even tomorrow when we spend time with you. Jesus, would you help us? I wonder if Mark and our men could just come and back to the music, please. Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. God, thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Why don't we do that this morning, just in these minutes we've got? Why don't we metaphorically, as it were, just sit at the feet of Jesus? Give him our undivided attention. Listen to him. Thank you, Lord.